Are you the quantum mechanics?
Yes, we are the Quantum Mechanics, the paranormal podcast for the believers, the doubters and everyone in between. And we're on the road, aren't we, Ben?
We are. This is the third time we've recorded this podcast where I can see the moon.
Yes.
It's literally above us.
Well, it's above us and it's very full, which probably gives you a hint of where we're going. We've been planning this trip for ages and it's always going wrong. We're about 5 or 10 miles from our final destination, so we feel that we're okay to talk about it. We're finally going to Cannock Chase.
I'm going to find that scat. For 2 years we've been after this elusive werewolf. So if you've been listening to us since the start, you remember Johnny Greatrix at Birmingham Live told us about his adventures in trying to find this werewolf. We also did a Freedom of Information request and found, if I recall, 7 incidents of werewolf being reported in Cannock. We're heading right to the centre of those sightings, just the M62, but just off the M62. First stop is the German War Cemetery. It was put there because of prisoners of war in the First and Second World Wars, actually. They were housed near there. The people who unfortunately died, there's about 248 war graves there. But most recently, especially since 1975, there has been cases of some sort of bipedal creature either going down to all fours or picking themselves up from all fours and moving away. Hairy beings.
Well, not only have we got werewolves, hopefully we may see black-eyed kids, reports of them there, UFOs, and there's the pigman who we'll
talk about. The pigman, yes.
Which we'll talk about later. And because it's a road trip, we've got a few friends with us. We've got James from the Lawmen. Say hey, Joe.
Hi there. Thought you were queuing me in with the pigman.
Are you going to be telling us more about the pigman later?
I don't know about the pigman. I'm looking forward to finding out about the pigman.
Cool. Excellent.
Oh, it's Ben who's going to tell us about the pigmen. Well, we're in a service station at the moment. We also got Trudy and Nicola, who joined us on the Swan, and various other people.
Say hi.
Hello. Hello.
So they're going to be assisting us, and we've got our good friend of the show, Tim, with us, who's handing us a furry microphone right now. Hi, Tim.
Roger, Dodger.
So we're going to jump in the car. The sun's about set. The moon is out. And we're heading to Cannock Chase, so we'll catch you a little bit later. So, we have arrived. We are in Cannock Chase. We just parked up in the car park by the military graveyard. I must say, for the dark conditions and this time of night, the car park was particularly full. I can't work out if that's people who have just got an interest in werewolves and paranormal activity or something else was going on. The lights seem to be flickering on and off quite a lot. First impressions, maybe it's the car park that has slightly made us a little bit nervous, but it's a bit tense. I'm feeling a bit tense being here. I don't know about you, Ben.
It's incredibly tense. And so we're right behind. I can see the cross of the German military cemetery. That is literally where the werewolf has been seen. First sighting recorded that I can discover, 1975. Last recorded sighting that I found is 2018. And it does have, as you say, a particularly tense and slightly otherworldly feeling. There's also a tree that's been munched in half just there, which I think is probably more down to beaver activity or something similar.
Don't
go there.
Think of your words.
But I'm not liking it, James.
I'm starting to come up with a theory about the werewolf, I'm afraid. You know, in smuggling days, they would make up stories about ghosts in particular coastal towns in order to put people off coming there.
Right, you think that's what's going on?
I think this is a dogging conspiracy, a canine conspiracy, if you will.
So we're walking in a direction towards another car park. I did think there was some UFO activity, but it seems to be a car that's flashing its lights quite a lot. So I think you know what might be going on here. We are literally, forgetting werewolves, we are in the middle of a dogging hotspot, basically, aren't we? There's lights all around us. We're carrying torches. We're probably not helping our cause. I don't know what I'm more afraid of seeing, a dogger or a werewolf.
I I'm not sure either. I think it's a bit of a shame because I would like to stake this place out. It is undeniably creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, we're going to carry on walking. We, for the Patreons out there, thank you for buying these walkie-talkies so we could all split up and do various different things. On arrival, we've all decided that we're going to huddle together as closely as we can, and we're not going to use them at all. So we will catch you in a bit. Okay, so we're having a little wander around the graveyard at the moment. We've just dodged some poo, but I don't think it was werewolf poo. It didn't. I mean, not that I would know the difference between werewolf poo and other poo, but I don't think it was. The graveyard is incredibly spooky when you shine a little bit of light on the rows of gravestones. We're just wandering around the outside of it, trying to keep clear of the car park and everything that's going on there, James.
So I've ventured inside the cemetery as a little team have moved over with their torches to the side. It's quite moonlit in here. To try and give you an idea of the size, I mean, you'll be able to see pictures of it on the web. It's probably, I would say, maybe 3 acres, something like that. As I say, there's over 200 graves here. And there's a huge cross in the middle and some sparsely planted silver birches which are glinting in the moonlight. I can see all the stars are out and we're surrounded really by trees. So Cannock Chase used to be a place where people would collect wood as well as go hunting and graze animals, and it really does feel that way. And right now this does feel like the sort of place where you could see an animal or a cryptid get up on, you know, two legs and start running. As we came in, we saw a fox run across the road. Obviously nothing paranormal about that, but when your senses are up, it does feel like you're looking for things. But I think we're going to have to move on in a minute because it is quite busy for late on a Saturday night. We're quite close to a road. I didn't realize how close to a road we would be. There's a lot of car noise, and if there is a cryptid around, I don't think they're going to make themselves known in this part of the wood. So I think probably we'll move on to another destination in a minute. I won't say that's it for here for now, because we're sort of, it's an evolving thing, but with the team investigating over the other side, but I can't see that we're going to see anything particular this evening. In terms of what I keep talking about, looking for scat, I will say there is a lot of scat. My limited knowledge of animal feces tells me that I think it might be goose.
We've just come across a gate, kind of no entry gate. I mean, you can wander around to walk around it, you just can't drive up it. But there is a sign here for a missing person who went missing in this area. Not making any kind of paranormal connection to that, but it's just add to the kind of weirdness of this place and kind of brings it home. Somebody's obviously come here and gone missing, so yeah, that's a little bit strange and yeah, a little bit uncomfortable feeling really, of, you know, especially when you buy a cemetery and there's this sign saying someone's gone missing. I hope they get found and it's nothing to, hasn't got a sad ending, but yeah, a little bit weird.
Okay, we've relocated to the Pie Green Water Tower, built in 1934. It's on the edge of an estate and we've gone round the side. It is soft underfoot. And we're right in the middle, I would say, of a big wood. And this is the scene where a lady called Helen and her boyfriend John in 2013 encountered what they described as a young child with completely black eyes peering round a tree and giggling at them. And I can sort of believe it. It is otherworldly here. It's weird. The water tower is huge. the moon is nearly full, and looking into the woods, all you can see is the skyline. It's pitch black. The rustling of papers you can hear is because we're looking for notes.
So yeah, we're by this water tower. There's all kinds of stuff apparently that's gone on in these woods. There has been a sighting of the pigmen, who I think you're going to talk about in more detail a little bit later, but a little bit of a teaser. He's half man, half swine.
Half swine.
There's also been UFO sightings here. There's been UFO flybys, apparently, that have been seen. And I don't know where this bit of it is, but apparently there's an Iron Age hill fort near here. And it's rumoured that satanic rituals were performed here many, many moons ago, which has helped kind of fuel these chilling legends
there's
of Cannock Chase.
There's always satanic rituals. Why?
Yeah. I guess the best way to describe Cannock Chase, and I think we've talked about it before, I mean, it's a bigger area, but it's got parallels with America's Skinwalker Ranch in the fact that it's not just one thing. It's we've got these kind of cryptids who are half man, half pig. We've got black-eyed kid sightings, and you can kind of see looking at the woods that one of them kind of coming out. UFOs apparently flying overhead, and that's not to mention the werewolves as well. So obviously it's not all kicking off now, but over the years it's all kicked off here.
It really has. It really has. And I think part of it is sort of the way that the place makes you feel. James, you've been sending stuff to your patrons at the Lawmen podcast, but what have you been saying?
This is a very spooky place. These woods, they're like tall pine trees or something. So it's not the sort of woods that you find off or that I experienced in woods. This is a very atmospheric place. And one of our party disappeared round the corner and then came back and said, come on, you've got to come down here, follow us. I checked her eyes. I don't think they were black, so I think we're safe.
You say think. But you're right, I hadn't noticed the... Yes, the trees make it... They give it an American feel, don't they?
Yeah, but with the continual threat of dogging, we've made it ever so British.
I'm so British. I've checked 3 times, my flies are done up. Tim, where have you been?
Just further into the forest. It's quite a scary one, isn't it? It's around the corner. You're there in a housing estate, and then you go around the corner, and then it's quiet though. It's very quiet. Apart from the cars going past us.
I quite like to read this article. Can you give me a bit of light? This is quite good. So we were talking about what this area is like. I'm going to read you a short article from the London Economic in 2014. Why they were covering Cannock Chase, who knows? It gives you a good little background. Cannock Chase, 78 kilometre square area of outstanding beauty in the heart of the Midlands, has been thrust into the headlines with a spate of ghost sightings. An ancient royal hunting ground has long had all manner of sinister supernatural sightings. Recently, the tabloids have been full of stories of the apparition locals call the Black-Eyed Child. Families on a woodland walk through the Birches Valley area, which I think is this where we are now, isn't it? Cannock Chase have reported coming across a young girl with her hands over her face as if she's playing hide and seek. When approached, the girl apparently drops her hands, open her eyes to reveal eyes with no white, black as coal, before disappearing. And what makes matters even spookier, the macabre apparitions have coincided with a surge of reports of UFOs. A mother and daughter who lost 4 hours of time at the ghoulish hotspot, a classic symptom of alleged alien abduction. According to the chilling report, the abducted mum found October 27 written on her hand, sparking fears of a dreadful incident will take place on that date. Birches Valley is not only home to the black-eyed girl and aliens and ghosts, but it's also the home of the Gruffalo Child Trail, available until February 2018. The route to the Heath Sculpture Trail, and the best of all, it's got a go ape with treetop hijinks and segues to make a faster getaway. I'm not sure what's scarier, doing the go ape thing or actually seeing any of these paranormal encounters, but it gives you a flavour of what this place is known for.
At least it's not Ghost Skunk Ape.
Anyway, we're going to try and find another location.
We'll find another location. There's one thing more I want to do here, but we will relocate.
Okay.
So here we are, parked up in the car at Birch's Valley. Difficult to get into the car park, so we're sort of in a lay-by. But this is where there's been a sighting of the Pigman. So according to local legend, the Pigman is half-human, half-pig hybrid that stalks the woods and terrifies local residents. Some say he's the product of a scientific experiment gone wrong. Others say he's some sort of ghost or demons. But a few years ago, there was a gentleman stationed in the forest training for the World War II who came up with a more logical theory. He said that military commanders were tasked with spreading misinformation to the local towns and villages with a view to discouraging people from wandering late night into the woods. However, Linda Mucklow and her partner Derek were walking their two dogs, Barney and Fred, through the woods just before sunset, as they always did. A lovely evening, and the sun was shining and the birds were singing. Both their German shepherds were having a whale of a time chasing each other through the dense trees. It was around 8 p.m. and the sky was beginning to turn red. Derek and his wife were tired, so they decided to turn around and start the journey back to their car. The second they changed direction, though, Barney and Fred started to act a little weird. Far from being their usual excitable selves, the dogs seemed sheepish and timid, as if they knew something their owners didn't. All of a sudden, the couple and their dogs heard the distant sound of a pig grunting and oinking away. They stopped dead in their tracks and glanced around to see if they could pinpoint the animal, and it was the barking from their dogs that told Derek and Linda which way to walk. Closer and closer, the couple moved towards the noise, but just as they seemed to be almost on top of it, the oinking stopped. It was as if the animal heard them coming and froze. They stood still for a moment and glanced around again. This time, Derek saw something. Around 50 metres from their position in the woods, standing in between two rather large trees, was a figure they first believed to be a man wearing a pig mask. They called out to the figure, and he started moving towards them. He got closer and closer, as close as 30 metres. As he moved in, it was becoming clear this was not a man in a pig mask. The couple began to recoil as their dogs Barney and Fred went crazy. Whatever this was, it wasn't good, and it looked very angry. The couple started running with their dogs in the opposite direction and the swine-like monster trailing behind. Or at least it was behind them for a while anyway. With less than 200 metres to go before the couple reached their car, the pig man seemed to give up the chase. Derek looked back, but he could no longer see the creature. Both he and Linda breathed a sigh of relief. Full credit to Haunted Cannock Chase by Lee Brinkley for that one. I don't know what we all make of that. It sounds like a believable story, but from what we've seen this evening, I think that could be almost anything.
Yeah. I was thinking it wasn't sounding like a big porky, but hey. Yeah, it's quite. It's really weird, Ben, when you were telling that story, because we, like we said, we sat in the car in the middle of where all this is supposed to be. Have happened, and just as you were talking, I just kept looking to the trees, expecting to see it. So, I wonder if there is some. You know, it's been quite paranoid, isn't it? It's quite paranoid, isn't
it's
it?
A paranoid
I'm asking the
place.
Car.
It's a paranoid place.
It's a really paranoid place.
Sorry, just to drill into the Pigman story a little bit. When they say it was an experiment gone wrong. How could it have gone right?
What was the aim?
What were they trying for?
Well, they were trying for an intelligent pig. I don't know what they were trying for.
Stupid man.
Well, I suppose a sensible answer might be they were trying to make organs for a human organ transplant,
right.
Because we do transplant pig organs into humans. Could that be it? Could it
but,
be?
But then, wouldn't it be a pig's body with a man's head?
Ooh, well, that is frightening.
A pig's body with a man's head.
Yeah.
Again, I've been to Cirencester. I don't know. I don't think any of those explanations are real. I think what I'm feeling is what you just said. Now, this place breeds a certain amount of peculiar thoughts. and I think you could easily get spooked. We didn't get it on tape earlier, but a balloon in the trees got us a little bit on the edge.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a strange place.
It is a strange place. And this car's now steaming up because we're so terrified of putting the window down, because in dogging circles, putting your window down has a certain meaning. So we are literally steaming up in this car.
Okay, so next location, we'll pick up there. We'll leave this steamy car and we'll see you in a few minutes. We've just relocated to what's it called? The ring?
Castle ring.
We've just relocated a castle ring. The car park's closed, so we've parked on the road and walked up. It's like an ancient Iron Age like earthwork. And we were just taking in the site, and you know we never make up anything on the Quantum Mechanics, but we're just peering over to the other side of the earthwork, perhaps maybe 300 metres away, 250, and there's two sets of eyes.
Shiny eyes. There was something moving in the undergrowth there. Now, probably deer.
It's probably deer.
But slightly freaky.
But it does add to, I don't know, the ambience. It feels very different up here in this part of the chase. This is, the trees are very much sort of on the periphery. We're not in the middle of the trees as we once were. And this is where the pigman has been seen, but also the ghost of a monk, the ghost of a young girl, have all been seen walking along the, it's kind of like the perimeter of this. If you imagine, it's just like a trackway around what is basically swampland in the middle. There are the eyes again.
Yeah, there's something moving there.
There's two. Yeah, it's not people with torches, it's eyes. Because you can only see them in the torchlight.
They're coming a bit closer.
They are coming a bit closer.
They should be scared of us, really, shouldn't they? Rather than us being scared of them, a couple of deer, probably.
I mean, I do love venison.
Yeah, that is true. Something quite calming up here compared to where.
There's loads of them. It's deer.
It's a flock of deer? What do we call them?
A herd of deer.
Flock of seagulls, I was thinking of.
Oh, there's loads of them. Oh, yeah, there's like five sets of eyes. Oh yes, that's deers.
Yeah, cool. Oh, something quite calming up here compared to where we've been. Everywhere else has had that really kind of slightly eerie, spooky vibe. There's been part of me just going, can we just get back in the car? Here I feel like, even though we've got kind of animals roaming around us, it feels really relaxing up here.
It does feel very relaxing around here, yes, you're right. It's cold. You can see for miles across Birmingham. It's very hard to explain, but as we've been deep in the forest, or the wood rather, it's felt very enclosed. Behind me now, there's just a short wood line, and you can see right across the city, can't you? You can see to the other side.
And it's post-midnight, so it's gone the witching hour, so should be more creepy. But yeah, I like it up here. I could stay up here all night.
I mean, a few minutes.
Well, we've got a couple more locations and a couple more stories for you, and I've got a kind of more of a sceptic view of Cannock Chase coming up, so stick with us. So we are back in the car from Castle Ring. What a lovely place that was. I really enjoyed walking around there, and we saw deer. We thought at first we might have found either the pig man or the werewolf, but no, it was just a flock of deer, as I called them earlier. I've got to get that right. Now, James, you have got something from your dusty old tomes that you're going to share with us, have you not?
I do. I thought I'd bring you a little bit of news of werewolves from outside the Cannock Chase region. Nice. I've got the story of, I mean, there's no nice way to put this. It's the story of Old Stinker, who is a Hull area werewolf, also known as the Beast of Barnston Drain. Nice. By the way, quick sidebar, Barnston Drain is also home to a witch and the ghost of a headless boy. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about Old Stinker, who is 8 feet tall, with matted hair and red burning eyes, and terrible breath. Hence the name.
Hence the name
Old Stinker. Yes.
Right, got it.
And old because the earliest sightings date back to the 1100s.
Wow.
When Old Stinker was spotted near graveyards in the Hull area.
Same description of the beast all the way through history?
Well, no. More recent sightings describe it or him as having an unnerving human face.
Right.
But yeah, the 1100s. Now, what people think this might be originated from is back in those days, we did have real wolves loose around England, and they would go to places where there were a load of bodies, graveyards,
right,
dig up them bodies and chew on the bones. And that's where the kind of origin of these sort of human eating wolf beasts came from.
That would give you bad breath as well.
Oh my God, yes. That is not fresh.
No.
In the 1700s, a wolf-like monster attacked a stagecoach, was shot at, and retreated into the woods. And that it was seen right up until 2015, 2017.
Oh, really?
In 2019, people were asking on Facebook if anyone had seen Old Stinker recently. And in fact, it's one of the few cryptids that does have an active Twitter account. So I have to be careful what I say, because Old Stinker does follow me on Twitter and does message me.
I think Old Stinker would point out it's now called X, though, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. No, Old Stinker's a stickler for the correct nomenclature. But the tale I want to hear, the tale that I think is most pertinent to today, is from 1960, when a truck driver who was driving down a lonely country road saw a pair of red lights on the side of the road. Now, that truck driver stopped because it could have been an accident. There could have been a car gone off the road or something. And as he pulled over, a giant wolf attacked his truck.
Wow.
And he realised that in this case, the red lights were the wolf's eyes.
Got it. This wolf man has a thing for moving vehicles of all types, isn't he? Started off with, you know, the more the coaches, and now he's doing the lorries, maybe the modern day Ford Mondeo, whatever.
Yeah, and with what we've learned today about, you know, red lights on the side of a road blinking on and off.
Do you think that's why the lorry driver stopped, really?
I think maybe, yes. That's what the lorry driver thought was going on.
He got more than he bargained for.
And yeah, he got some big dog energy and couldn't handle it. But I think, well, that's the thing. Maybe the idea, because what I've realised from today is I came into tonight believing in werewolves more than I believed in dogging.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to think, I think one or the other one is made up to cover up for the other one. So it could be that Old Stinker is putting around stories that if you're a car with its red lights blinking, you're looking for people to come over there, and it's luring people in to attack and or eat them.
If it's the other way around, I like that idea that the window's down, you put your head in and go, oh, it's Old Stinker, no, move, another
Omp.
Car.
You get your head bit clean off.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, it is that sort of, you know, the idea that smugglers used to put around stories that there were ghosts in places that they use for smuggling. Maybe these tales of werewolves being at particular dogging hotspots is there to try and keep the wrong sort of people away. Although, as we found today, it has attracted us, the wrong sort of people, to dogging hotspots. Yeah, we've really cramped their style.
I'm loving Old Stinker's social media presence. He's really moving with the times. You just can't catch these fast-moving vehicles. I'll just go on social media instead.
Exactly. It will get you to slide into his DMs, and he will, yeah.
I wonder if there's a werewolf equivalent of Grindr.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What would that be?
I guess it would be like some...
Growler.
There probably is a growler.
It's growler. It? Yeah, it's called growler.
Yeah. I've derailed your story completely there, haven't I?
Well, that's all it is. That's what it is. I'm just saying, if you do see a light,
yep.
If you do see a pair of red lights on the side of the road, think twice before winding your window down and having a look. Cause...
And he's probably really peed off that he's called Old Stinker, isn't he?
I guess that would put you off. But is it a coincidence that it's called Doggin?
Okay. See, we come up with great theories, don't we?
It's all about the theories, come on.
Well, we've got one more location to go, is that right, Ben?
One more location.
Okay, so we're going to head over there now. It's the wee small hours now, but we're still going. We are cannock chasing to the very end, are we not?
Yeah.
Obviously not. Thank you very much.
You're going to have to
Jesus.
Yep,
everybody around here. There we go.
So here we are. We've relocated again to the Coppice Hill car park, which is obviously another part of Cannock Chase. Now, the reason we're here is because, Peter, do you remember when we spoke to Johnny Greatrix the first time round, and yeah. We spoke about a couple that went to a car park. So they were 17-year-old kids, and they were just doing what 17-year-old kids do. They were hanging out with their mates. They just come down here to have a cigarette, and when they looked up at the sky, they saw a peculiar light come over, and they didn't think too much of it. And it was a summer day, so they were just sitting on the bonnet of the car, though it was nighttime. About half an hour later, they get this uneasy feeling, and out of the woods come a number of people dressed very strangely, humanoid, but dressed strangely, and they start getting a little bit weirded out, open the doors on the car, and then one of them says to them, come with us, follow us. And they're like, no, we're out of here, let's go.
You would.
Well, that's where we are now. This is the actual car park that happened in. It is a bit weird because the last place we were at the Castle Ring, it was quite light and airy. This feels very oppressive. And outside the car, we're still in the car at the moment because it's a bit windy to record. It's incredibly dark outside. It is a little bit terrifying. But there's another sighting here of, in 1960, according to this source, an alien was seen pushing a car. Now, this is the trouble with these sightings. They become more and more ludicrous the more you dig into them. And I don't know whether that sort of takes away the veracity of some of the cryptid sightings. But why is an alien pushing a car? It makes no sense.
I've got another thought on that as well. The state of this road and the potholes, it's physically impossible to push a car, whether you're alien or not.
This was 1960, so we are talking 60 years ago, so it might have changed. But it is interesting to come here, like, just objectively and not just listening to the stories. That story, the journalist at the time, we all thought that was sort of, it had some credibility to it because the teenage couple were genuinely scared about what they'd seen. And it's very, very possible that they'd just seen some people who were messing around in the woods and they'd seen a shooting star. Of course it is. But it is odd to come to that place.
I also wonder if they had an Alfa Romeo, because that would need help from aliens to push it somewhere, wouldn't it?
Well, that's a different case to the kids, but yes, that is very possible.
Yeah, we've kind of had these stories. What we had, we've had werewolves, we've had stories of black-eyed kids,
pigmen,
UFOs. I wanted to try and put a kind of more sceptical side to Cannock Chase. So, I've been through a lot of research on the stories that are out there, and there's one person who seems quite prominent in a lot of the stories about Cannock Chase, and that's someone called Lee Brickley, who's written a number of books on paranormal, but especially around the Cannock Chase area. And I've just got random things from articles. If you do a Google on Cannock Chase, check out who gets most of the quotes on it, and it's Lee Brickwell. So, in April 2018... Lee says, I believe I saw the infamous black-eyed child in an area of Cannock Chase called Birch's Valley, which we've been to today. He says, she appeared about 100 metres in front of me, stared right at me for about 30 seconds, then vanished without a trace. 2014 in The Guardian, Lee Brickley. So in that article, it says, local ghost hunter Lee Brickley seems to be at the centre of the phenomenon, which he said bore echoes of sightings made by his aunt in 1982. So, according to Lee, his aunt saw a black-eyed child in 1982, and then he spotted one lately. Now, he said these black-eyed kids could be ghosts linked to a Celtic tribe known for their blood sacrifices.
Are they the ones that lived in the hill?
100 metres looking ahead is quite far to have that sort of description, isn't
it? That kind of detail, yeah. No, Tim in the back is saying it's kind of a long way to look.
To see their eyes.
Yeah. Sightings have kind of mysteriously stopped in recent years. And Lee believes this is because their masters may have recalled them to the underworld.
Yeah.
It's possible, isn't it?
It's one of the options.
Now, there is another story I came across in Birmingham Online from 2015. Just read you a little bit. This is more UFO stuff. Strange aircraft spotted moving slowly and loudly across the night sky in Cannock Chase has sparked UFO frenzy. Hundreds of householders took to social media after first hearing a loud drone, then spotting the massive object moving slowly over their homes. Many believe that there is a very earthly explanation for this close encounter that has got the community buzzing. Locals in Staffordshire town believe they saw a secret military prototype, possibly from a US aircraft carrier that was situated off Portsmouth. And the British UFO Research Association has not discounted claims that a drone might be behind the rash of reports. The area has been a UFO hotbed since the early 1980s, but last week's incident is the biggest in terms of sheer volume of sightings. So there's lots of reports of people kind of hearing rumblings, seeing strange stuff in the sky. So this article then goes on. Paranormal investigator Lee Brickley witnessed the same phenomenon and began blogging as the drama unfolded. He describes this thunderous rumbling as like a World War II bomber. He says, before anything could be seen with the naked eye, there was a deep and very loud droning. After around 3 minutes, the craft came into sight, seemed incredibly large, astonishingly low in the sky, with three red lights that were easily noticeable. The UFO travelled very slowly, and many people thought it was about to crash. So I'm putting that as, so there could be military aircraft, could be behind the UFO sightings. But all roads for stories in Cannock Chase seem to lead back to Lee Brickley. Now, I'm not saying maybe he's kind of in touch with stuff out here all the time, seeing stuff, but it does make you wonder. And it made me think as we were wandering around, we were more likely to bump into Lee Brickley than we probably were a werewolf, an alien, or a black-eyed kid. I don't know what you think, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, we did encounter some other people who are obviously also looking for some phenomena here, but I think it probably comes down to the feel of the area, the mysterious sort of, because it's unlike other parts of the English countryside. It's hard to explain, but the way the trees are, the way that it's so close to, like, it goes rural and then into a town and then rural again, that's quite, it's unnerving. And then with all of these stories around, I feel like it's a self-perpetuating myth. But there are terrible things that happen here. People have been murdered and their bodies have been found here. There are these cemeteries full of people who were buried a long, long way from their homes. There's been a lot of sorrow and sort of sadness happening around here, which probably unwittingly adds to that sense of it isn't quite right around here. There's another forest near where my parents live, which isn't quite right either. And it's almost a very similar setup with sort of tall, planted, non-native trees, that sort of thing. But I don't know. I really wanted to come and see a werewolf and its scat. And we haven't proved that it doesn't exist. But I don't think we've got any closer to finding that it does.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that strikes me is as we've been travelling around the area and various sites, various places, you do get a sense of kind of hysteria does take hold a little bit, doesn't it? You're going, oh, you're freaking yourself out. It's really weird. We were just saying as we were driving to this location, I wonder if somebody's driving around where we live kind of feeling the same thing, because it feels to me like this whole area is just really weird and there's all weird stuff going on all over the place. But is that just something we've put in our head because of the legends and because of all the publicity around this area? We're almost convincing ourselves of its paranormal pedigree in some ways.
Yeah, I think so. I think this place probably benefits from some of those rumours and some of those thoughts, but I don't know. One thing's for sure, I wouldn't want to be out here by myself, and I don't know what that says.
So, yeah, obviously there's a whole car full of us who've experienced this. It'd be really good to just quickly go around the car and get everybody's thoughts on the hours that we've spent on the Cannock Chase of the Cannock Chase. So let's start with James, Lawman James. What do you think of tonight's activities?
I think it's been really interesting. I think apart from one key element, we have done exactly what a dogger would do.
Apart from the dogging.
Apart from one key element, yeah. We have driven around to secluded spots, parked up in the car, popped the light on and sat for a bit.
And I think what both you and me might agree, we're more scared of doggers than we are of werewolves.
Yes, definitely, absolutely.
Well, let's go around the car. Nicola, what's your vibe?
It's weird, isn't it? I think the whole area is just exactly as Ben said, because I think it's very rural and then you're walking off into these weirdly wooded areas, just gives you a really odd vibe. But no, I think 10 out of 10 would agree. Definitely more scared of doggers than of werewolves.
Passing it back there, Ben. Tim?
I think my feeling with it is that historically, when there was less suburban buildings around, this would have been quite interesting, because I'm guessing this forest stretched for quite a long way and it probably could have a quite a weird old ancient sort of forest feel to it. But because everything now we've been to tonight is, you know, you're driving through. Some of it even seems to be on the doorsteps of people's houses. But, you know, a few hundred years ago, I bet it could be quite interesting. Yeah.
I feel like Tim, actually. You can feel the ancient forests, which then brings in the myths and the legends of the werewolf and the wolves themselves. I think it's been a beautiful evening with the clear skies, the mists rolling in when we were standing in there, and then the deer coming out. I really felt a very ancient energy, which I found very beautiful. So it's been a great evening. So thank you guys.
Thank you very much.
Well, look, it's been, even though we've not seen a werewolf, a UFO, a black-eyed kid, or a pig man. I've really enjoyed tonight. And there could be a feeling of coming away like, oh, it's a bit disappointing. But no, it's been great. And especially when we saw those deer at the castle place. It was just a really nice vibe there. So thank you all for joining us on our journey. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Are you the quantum mechanics?